I've got a good prescription for us. If you let me be your doctor just for a minute. Everybody loves prescriptions. At least the world does. I can't stand to take a prescription. Don't like taking prescriptions. But you know, a lot of people would take a prescription from a medical doctor without even thinking about what they're taking. They don't even know what they're taking. Some of that stuff they give you strong. Some of that stuff they give you will change the way you think. Change the way your body performs. Acts. Maybe has side effects. Maybe you won't even find out about it for 20 years. Now, I'm not saying not take their prescriptions. But when God gives you a prescription, you ought to immediately take it. And I've got a prescription for you. I really believe that I need this. I believe you. It is just always so timely what God has in the Bible. And when I saw this, I said, this is exactly what we need, Lord. It's not just something in the Bible we're reading. This is what we need. And some of the things that may be said tonight, maybe it won't even sound very spiritual to you, but let's look at the Bible together. Proverbs chapter 15, I'm starting to read in verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13, the Bible says this, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it. The prescription tonight is a merry heart. In verse number 13, if you look at that, he said, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And then drop down to verse 15. He said, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. As I started looking from verse 13 to 23, I thought, well, how does all of this fit together? And I think all of it fits together with a merry heart. Not only does verse 13 and 15 talk about a merry heart, what do you find in verse 14, the first two words there? It says, the heart of him. You see that? He's not just talking about his head, he's talking about his heart. He's also talking in here about trouble in verse 16, and then he's talking about love in verse 17. He's talking about verse 20, a glad father. He speaks of joy in a wrong sense in verse 21. In verse 23, he says, a man hath joy by the answer. I see a common theme in all these verses, and it is a merry heart. Look at chapter 17. I'll just jump over there and grab that verse since it goes so well with these two verses in our text that speak of a merry heart. Proverbs 17, the Bible says in verse 22, this is why I said it's our prescription, you see. Proverbs 17, 22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know what I really believe? I believe probably one of the best medicines that you could take, it would be that of the gladness and joy that the Lord can bring in our hearts to bring merriment in our heart. It's a medicine. Matter of fact, it probably would do you more good to laugh many times than it would be for you to take a pill. Because the merry heart, he says, is like a medicine. You never notice somebody that is down and depressed and having trouble getting through life? There's no merry heart there. You know, you'll shorten your life with sorrow. You really will. And you'll probably lengthen your life if you can live the Christian life with a merry heart. Now, you know, you can live the Christian life and do right and stay away from evil things. But if you don't do it with a merry heart, what kind of trip is it going to be? You know, God's just as interested in how you make the journey as what the journey is for your life. In other words, He's not just trying to get you from point A to point B doing right. He's wanting you to enjoy the trip. He's wanting you to have joy and gladness and a merry heart. And a lot of times, look, I thought of this tonight and I said, God, right here in the middle of all of the confusion in our society, you know probably what some of us haven't done in a while. We probably haven't had a good laugh in a while. Because, you know, there's a difference between the word merry and the word joy and the word rejoice. He could have said a joyful heart, but he said a merry heart. Look it up. I looked it up in the old 1828 dictionary. And in the old dictionary, the word merry means this. It means exhilarating to the point of laughter. In other words, you are just so overwhelmed that you begin to laugh. That's what a merry heart is. Now look, joy, I think joy and gladness go into that, and happiness goes into that. But when you look at the word merry, it's almost like somebody is laughing their self to death. They are so overwhelmed with this emotion. And you know, somebody steps back and says, man, what is there to be merry about? I know I'm supposed to have joy because joy's in Jesus, and we can have joy if everything's going wrong. You know, that's the lesson of the book of Philippians, right? I can have joy even if I'm alone or if I'm at loss. But you know, you can have joy in your heart, but that doesn't mean you're just slapping your knee laughing like crazy. You know, God wants you to laugh. Matter of fact, most of the time in the Bible, when you look up the word merry, what you'll find is you'll find a wrong connotation. You'll find people sinning. You'll find people sinning, and that's where their laughter comes from, is because they're engaged in behavior. But I tell you what, if the only place you're going to find laughter is in a bar, then that's not real laughter at all. Matter of fact, we, not too many chapters before this, we talked about even where he says, even in laughter, the heart is made sorrowful. There's a lot of laughter that is empty. It's hollow. It doesn't come from a merry heart. But God, look, we ought to have a merry heart to the point we can laugh. You said, preacher, people are dying. Yeah. I'll never forget. I laughed and laughed till I couldn't laugh anymore. One of my best friends, he was really my pastor in the ministry, was dying. And he was in the, you might say, you're laughing? No, well, just wait a minute. There probably a day does not pass that I don't think about Brother Hank Thompson. Probably not a day passes. He meant that much to my life. And he was dying in the hospital room, and he hadn't spoken. He was like comatose for a few days, and his son and his family was there, and he roused up, and they put me on the phone with him, and he started talking. He hadn't talked in a long time. And it was emotional. We were crying, and I got off the phone with him. And not long after that, he went home to be with the Lord. And his daughter-in-law, you just got to know Brother Adam's wife, Miss Kim. I wish she could come. She is just, she's nuts is what Miss Kim is. She's just a funny, happy person. And she's a little blonde. I don't mean it like that, ladies that are blonde, but most, anyway, get out of that ditch. So she just, yeah. So he's calling all everybody up to him before he dies, all right, to give them, you know, and I never heard counsel from a man like that in my life, the things he'd say. Still haven't this day. I never expect to meet anybody else like him. And so at his passing, he's calling up his family members and saying something to him. He called Miss Kim up, his daughter-in-law. And somewhere his mind was just going by out in and out. And he says, "I got something real important to tell you, Kim." And Kim leaned over and he says, "When you cook the chicken, don't forget to blow on the chicken." And that was it. Her final words of wisdom was blow on the chicken. And that just lightened her heart. And they laughed. The whole family laughed. And he loved to laugh. You know what? When you can't laugh anymore, there's something wrong with you. There's a lot of things to laugh about in life. But sometimes the devil steals your merry heart. Sometimes you can't laugh anymore because you let something else rob you of that. And what I'm trying to tell you is a merry heart is the prescription that we need around us right now. Because look, we look at all the bad news and everywhere we turn in circumstances and we look at what's going on in our country and we look at the future. And what do we need to do? We probably need to laugh. That's right. Now you say, how does that happen? Now Jesus five times. I know I'm on good ground here. Five times Jesus came to somebody and said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." And when he said that, they were not in good circumstances. They were either in the midst of a storm, or they were in a jail, or they were in a great need in their life, and he wanted them to cheer up. The Apostle Paul did the same thing in Acts chapter 27. They're in that big storm called Euroclid, and all of them think they're going to die. And two times he looked at him and said, "Be of good cheer." God wants us to have cheer in our life. It's not something that the world should experience, something we should experience as the people of God. And if you don't have a merry heart, if you don't take that medicine, the Bible said there in Proverbs 17:22, "A broken spirit drieth the bones." God doesn't want you to have a broken spirit unless you're broken over your sin. And if you're broken over your sin and you get right with God, then you get a merry heart back, you see. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Do you have a merry heart today? Go back to our text in chapter 15. He says in verse 13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." You know, I don't know. Can you laugh and have a frown on your face? If you get involved in a big way of laughing and you got merriment in your heart, it just comes out on your face. You can't help it. And what kind of faces do we normally see today? Even with God's people. Look at the rest of the verse. He said, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Again, he doesn't want your bones to be dry. He doesn't want down in the depths of you to be all dry and brittle and dying. And he doesn't want your spirit that is within you to be broken with sorrow. Well, how can we have that merry heart in the midst of problems? The Bible says, you know, in James chapter 5, he says, if any is afflicted, he said, let him pray. And this is how I know that most people, even if they're saved people, don't have a merry heart. He says, if any is afflicted, let him pray. But then he says this, is any merry? He says, let him sing. You know how you know somebody's got a merry heart? They sing. They'll sing so much they'll get on your nerves. Yeah, I've got one of my children does that. They get on my nerves, they sing so much. They got a merry heart. You ever heard somebody just sings in the shower constantly? Just always singing. They're singing so much and you say, what are you so happy about? Quit singing all the time, you know. If you're merry, you're supposed to sing. You know how I know most people aren't merry? Merry in their heart because they don't sing. They don't have a song. And when even they come to church and they're supposed to sing and they're even free to sing. And they don't live in California where you can't sing. They still live in Alabama in the good old South where we still can sing in church. But they come and they got freedom to sing and they still won't sing. You know what's wrong? A merry heart. He says, you merry, sing. Oh, we ought to have a song in our heart. We ought to have a song in our heart to God. We ought to be filled with a merry heart. Now, I'll show you before we get through how you can have that, but drop down to verse 15. He says in Proverbs 15, verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. You say, preacher, I got afflictions. How can I have a merry heart? By the way, you know what? If you live in a body of flesh, you're always going to have some kind of affliction to deal with. But you better learn to laugh. He says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Look at verse 15. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. You see, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the sorrow of the world worketh death. But we don't have the sorrow of the world. We have Jesus. And if you're saved, your name's written in heaven. And you ought to have some merriment about that. You ought to laugh. I tell you what, the old preacher told me, he said, you can tell somebody's devil possessed because they don't laugh at something that's funny. That's what he said. I don't know if it's true, that's what he said. He said, they never laugh when something's funny, and they never cry when something's sad. They're just stoic. So, there's something broken on the inside. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Here's something that's just drop dead funny, and they can't laugh. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong in my spirit. Because God, look, it's not a mark of spirituality to look like a persimmon. No. It's not a mark of spirituality. Matter of fact, the Bible says God laughs. Y'all know that, right? The Bible says God laughs. And He laughs at some pretty weird things. Yeah. You know, somebody asked me one time about what I thought about extinct animals and did I ever get, worried about some animal going extinct. I said, no, I think God maybe looks down to heaven and He says, I'm tired of looking at that one. Yeah. You can't tell me that God didn't make some animals just to laugh. Come on now. You know what? We live, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we live in such a PC culture that we can't laugh at anything anymore. You can't laugh at the long nose of an elephant because that would be discriminatory and hateful. Now, I use that. Look, you ought to be, if you can't laugh at yourself, you got a problem. Some of the funniest things that ever happened in my life was laughing at myself. Or somebody else starting to laugh at me and then I had to join in, you know. Yeah. I've told you a story maybe before. I was trout fishing in the stream with some of my deacons up there in Virginia, in the mountains. And I was in my 20s, we're out there climbing those mountains, fishing those streams. And I'm telling you what, I was trying to be the fisherman, showing him how to fish, and I stepped on a rock and I went, my feet went all the way over my head and I landed in the stream. And they didn't come over and say, preacher, all right. They started laughing. And I mean, it just laughed like crazy. And you know what I did? I got up and after why are you laughing? I looked at myself and then I started laughing too. You know, if you can't laugh at some of your calamities, it's just going to break your spirit. I mean, some of that's just funny. You need to learn to have a merry heart. You say, I don't think that's very spiritual. I think I'm in the Bible. A merry heart. He says, you got a merry heart, you have a continual feast. You say, all right, preacher, how do I get that? What's the source of that? I want to find that. Well, look at the next verse in verse 16. After mentioning a merry heart twice, in verse 16 he says this, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Now, what has that got to do with being merry? Your heart attitude toward God has a whole lot to do with you being merry. You may not think this. Look at the next verse, 17. Better, I laughed when I read this verse tonight. Better is a dinner of herbs. You know, there are a lot of men in here be disappointed if all they got was a dinner of herbs. And every now and then, I'll tell my wife, all right, one day a week, just vegetables. You know, because, you need to have something to be thankful for later, too. So, But some people be really disappointed if they just had a dinner of herbs. Look at it. Better is, he says, is a dinner of herbs where, what's that word? Love is. Than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. In other words, you know, a stalled ox, boy, you can get a whole lot of meat off of that ox. Right? But if that ox is stalled up and you hate that ox, he said it would be better if you just have a dinner of herbs and you loved what you're eating, you had love in your heart, than if you had all the other stuff, but you had hatred with it. He uses that verse in a contrasting manner here in verse 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. And in verse 16, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. He's contrasting the fear of the Lord and I believe the love of the Lord. Now watch me. You know, you're not going to have a merry heart if you don't have a right relationship with God. And you're not going to have a right relationship with God if you don't fear God. You know, we told, and you're not going to have a right relationship with God if you don't love God. I don't think anybody can have a real heart that is merry unless they have the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord in their life. Amen. I don't think they're going to be able to have. Now, they can laugh, but you can laugh with your mouth and not laugh with your heart. Laughter's not just something in your mouth. What he's talking about, a merry heart, it's something deep down that's exhilarating in your life. And the proper relationship with God can make that kind of heart in you. Like we said before about confidence. That verse that, and I still can't get away from it, that we studied not long ago. He talks about there's confidence in the fear of the Lord. And that most people would not equate fear with confidence. But if you have the fear of God in you, you'll have confidence in your life. Well, evidently, if you have the fear of the Lord in your life, and if you have love in your life, then that'll be a source where your heart will be merry. And people, you can scratch your head and say, what does fearing God and loving God have to do with me being merry? Well, most people that don't fear God and don't love God have no joy in their life. Because I'm telling you, the source is rooted in your relationship with God. And maybe we ought to step back and say, maybe the reason that I'm not happy and joyful and merry is because I'm not right with God. Is that a fair question? Because I know in my own life, when I'm not close to God and I'm not right with God, you know what? I'm not laughing. And I'm not happy. And I'm not smiling and I'm not joyful. Because there's something not right in here with me and God. So when we look at our countenance and we look at our smile and we look at our joy and we look at our laugh, it's not about circumstance. And this is what man would tell you. This is what society would say. Society would say that a merry heart and happiness and joy, all is about your circumstances. But that's a lie. Because some of the most wealthy people in all the world, that people would look at their life and say, they got everything anybody could ever want. They got the body, they got the spouse, they got the money, they've got the house, they've got the popularity, they got the success, they got everything anybody would ever want, and they're just as miserable as they can be. Checking themselves in and out of places to find help because there's no joy in their life. Having a merry heart doesn't have to do with what's going on in your job or in your life. The source of it is your relationship with the Lord. It's not about if you can't go here, can't go there because of the virus, or if you're... It's not about if you lost your job. It's not about if you lost your best friend. The source of that merry heart is that heart toward God. The fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord, and even if you have to eat vegetables. If there's love there, it's so much better than the big ox and the yabba dabba do steak. I mean, it's so much better than anything. If there's love there, listen, here, now watch the opposite of this. Here's why people don't have a merry heart. The Bible says here in verse number 17, a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You see that? Verse 18, he continues that thought. Look at 18, church. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with a merry heart? You will never have a merry heart until you quit being mad at people. Until you get rid of the wrath. Until you get rid of the strife. You know you can't laugh really with somebody that you can't stand. You can't be joyful with them. And some people have allowed somebody in their life to take away their merry heart. And you just can't get over so-and-so. And you just can't get over how you were wronged. And you're filled with anger and wrath or whatever. You got a bum deal or a raw deal. Or somebody mistreated you or somebody offended you. And I tell you, the only thing you're doing is letting it rob you of a merry heart and a joyful life. Because you can't have that with wrath and hatred and anger. And we've got so much anger in our country. And there's so much anger in people's homes. And I tell you what, I wouldn't give you a nickel for your Christianity. I don't care how straight it is. I don't care how godly it seems to be. I wouldn't give you a nickel for your Christianity if your heart's just filled with anger and you can't ever laugh and you can't ever smile. I don't want that kind of relationship with God in my life. And God didn't want me to have that relationship. That's why I knew immediately. And I would preach to them over in Romania. There's no doubt your religion is no count. It's a fake. Because not a one of you can smile about anything. You don't have any joy about anything. So the source of our merriment is God and our relationship with Him. Look at Psalm 4. Hold your finger here. Would you go to Psalm 4 right quick? I want to continue that. The source of our merry heart. What's the source of it? It's really the presence of God. It's God and His presence. It's our right heart toward Him that brings that merriness in our life, that merriment in our hearts. Look, have you ever, somebody said, you know, if I just had this, I'd be happy. It just don't work that way. If God can't give you a merry heart, you'll never get one. Look at Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 6, look at it with me. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Seems like they're having a pretty rough life here. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Look at verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. He said, more than all the physical blessings of life, God, you put gladness in my heart. Verse 8, look at it. Look at verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. That'd be a good verse for somebody claiming tonight. Why? For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You ever met people that were so nervous about things they couldn't go to sleep? And it doesn't matter how many alarm systems they have or how many guns they have or how many watchdogs they have. They're just always, they're never safe in their own mind, in their own heart. There's got to be that peace in our heart, that gladness in our heart. God puts it there because you know what? We know He's there. And He's a bigger deterrent in this church from somebody busting in those doors than our security system and the guys we got packing in this room. God's presence. And it should be God's gladness in our heart that satisfy my soul. And so if I don't have that gladness, there's something out of kilter with me and the Lord. Look at chapter 16 of Psalms. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. You have a merry heart? Oh, preacher, I got an F. No? I failed a class. Well, I ran my car into something. I got a speeding ticket. My kids can't go. I can't get rid of my kids and send them off to school. Never mind. No, your merry heart needs to come from God. It really does. Psalm 16, the Bible says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Boy, what a statement. Is God what's before you or is Fox News? I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Look at 9. Therefore my heart is glad. Why? Because God's there. God's before me. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. If I went to hell, God, you wouldn't leave me alone there. You'd be right there with me. What a thing to say. Look at the last verse, one of the great verses in the Bible, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Oh, what a verse. You'll never know what life's about unless God shows it to you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Look at it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Is that right or is that true or is that not true? Is it true? In thy presence is fullness of joy. Is that what the Bible says? So what does that mean? Does that mean that I hadn't been in His presence in a long time? In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know that's true about heaven. But you know who's at the right hand of God? Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. You know where Jesus Christ is right now besides the right hand of God? If you're saved, He lives inside your body. There ought to be pleasure in your heart. There ought to be joy in your heart. Because wherever Jesus is, there's joy there. I guarantee you for sure, some of those high points that we had in camp, I didn't even think about COVID-19 or 20 or 21. I didn't think about any of that. You know why? I was just so happy to be where God was. I'm telling you, your glad heart, your merry heart comes from God. Look at chapter 28, Psalm 28. The source of a merry heart is not what the world says it is. Proverbs 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. What a verse. God helped me, and my heart greatly rejoices. Preacher, do you really think that everything in our life is boiling down to our relationship with God? Are you trying to make things that simple? I'm trying to make things that simple. He said, just not that easy. Try it. That Bible said in 2 Chronicles 7:10, He said on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people away. This is the king, and the Bible says, sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, listen, for the goodness that the Lord had showed. Look, God's been good to you. God's been so good to you. You guys got in the car tonight and drove to church. You know how rare that... I wonder how long, if it had been like most of humanity, how long would it take? It would have taken you to walk to church tonight. You know, when we jump in the car and come to church, we don't even think about it. You know, I heard my grandpa and all that stuff. We walked 5 miles in the snow to go. You know, there was a day there wasn't a car. They said, well, they had horse and buggies, not the poor people. They walked everywhere they went. Jesus walked everywhere He went. The disciples walked. How many of you would be in church tonight if you had to walk tonight from your house to here? You'd be half dead before you got here. With all that humidity out there. And yet you got in the car and pushed a little button or turned a little key and it got set. It was 70 degrees in that thing. And you just pushed a little thing and you got here and you were here lickety-split and you walked in. And you didn't think a thing about how good God's been to you. I've tried to say it before because we're such a spoiled generation. I mean, our precious ladies could still be rubbing in washing boards, man. We could still be hauling water. I mean, it hadn't been long that there was no such thing as electricity. The goodness of God ought not just bring us to repentance, but the goodness of God ought to make us say, woohoo! Boy, I got it made. I got a refrigerator. I can push a little lever and it goes clunk, clunk, and all that goes away. Y'all didn't get that. You have been, the goodness of God to you is over. If I had to say this, I would say God has been better to this generation of Christians than any generation before. And we ought to just laugh about it. My gracious. I get to eat Italian food one day. That's pasta. I get to eat German food another day. That's schnitzel or, you know, you pound it and you bread it and fry it. And I get to eat French cuisine. I can eat a croissant. That's French cuisine. I can travel all the way around the world in 1 week and eat all kind of food. But my mom tickled me. We got a little garden out there, and she goes out there in that garden. She's picking. She's watching. I know she's watching. She'll go get those squash. She's wanting to cut the okra. The okra ain't that long. She's just so excited to get that fresh out of the garden, you know. Getting those cucumbers. Oh, boy, nothing tastes as good as a fresh cucumber. Well, yeah. Well, how good God's been to us with all that. God's been good to you. Why don't we have a merry heart? He sent them away to their tents, and they had a merry heart for all the goodness that the Lord had showed to them. You know what else makes your heart merry? Go back to our text, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 23. That last verse we read. Proverbs 15, 23. The Bible says, a man hath joy. There it is again. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? He's equating words with joy. In chapter 12, verse 25, if you remember that preaching. Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. I'm telling you, the good word of God makes our hearts glad. A good word from our brethren can make our hearts glad. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 19 in verse 8, speaking of the Bible, he says this, the statutes of the Lord are right. Listen, rejoicing the heart. Well, you'll have no rejoicing of the heart without the right good words put down in your heart. And you can't have a merry heart without a good relationship with the Bible. Can't do it. Psalm 119, the Bible says in 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Listen, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, he said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. If the Bible meant a whole lot more to us, we'd probably have a lot more merriment in our lives. Hold your finger there. Go to Acts chapter 2. This is a prescription. I haven't written it out yet, but I'm going to write it out in just a minute for you. But the source of a merry heart is in the goodness of God, in the words of God, in God Himself, in His presence, in the fear of the Lord, in the love of the Lord, and staying away from that wrath and that anger and that hatred. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they're all in the Bible every day. 43, and fear, there's that fear of the Lord, came upon every soul. 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. They started selling stuff. Verse 45. Verse 46, would you look at verse 46? And they continuing daily with one accord. They met every day for church. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with, what does it say? Gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And you know, they did that in the midst of people that wanted to kill them. In the midst of people wanting to kill them. And they're going from house to house and they're eating and they're fellowshipping. I tell you what, not just in the Word of God, when you fellowship with God's people in the right way, it can bring such merriment to your life. I asked my son today driving home, I said, son, tell me the funniest thing that you still remember in your life. And immediately he brought about three things. And the first thing he brought to mind was we were fellowshipping up in Virginia, where I used to pastor up there, and we're real close, and we fellowshiped for hours and hours, and we're out in the fellowship hall, just fellowship, and we were telling stories, you know, just having a good time. And there was one lady. And look, this is why I tell you, you need to learn to laugh at yourself. This one lady, she started talking about, and she was a banker. She was a business lady. And she started telling us about all these weight loss programs she had gone through. And that, I'm telling you, she got to one story. People started laughing, and she's not a comedian, but they were laughing so hard they couldn't breathe. Their faces just turning. That woman had bought one of these suits off, you know, and ordered one of these suits, one of these bags. She thought she could suck her fat away. And she goes into this story about how she puts this bag all over and she hooks the vacuum cleaner up to her, the suit. And she starts sucking this bag and she's turned it on such high suction that when she was done, she had whelps all over her body. And I tell you, we were rolling laughing. You know what we're doing? We were fellowshipping one with another. You got a merry heart? He says, is that spiritual? Oh, it's real spiritual. You know why? Hey, you know why? That church went through some rough battles together. By the way, I'll tell you what. You know, some of the funniest times in my life, I'm telling you, the funniest times of my life have been in church. And probably to this day, the reason that I always want Brother Farley to come preach to me wherever I am is because some of the funniest moments in my life have been in church. He said one thing in church to one of our members one time, and I laughed so hard, I fell in the floor. I'm not kidding. I fell in the floor laughing. You said that's not very spiritual. That's probably the spirituality that you need.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even tell you some of the things. This woman one time was confessing her sin in the church. And she had made a fool of herself. And she started confessing in front of the whole church. I can't even tell you what she said about herself. It was so funny. Our jaws just... And she wasn't meaning... She was so overcome at being convicted before the Lord. You have a merry heart? How long has it been since you laughed? I mean, just had a real good laugh. Where you were just overwhelmed with just exhilaration to the point it just came out. In Proverbs 15, I got to hurry. Proverbs 15, verse 20. Before I get to verse 20, I skipped a verse there. Look at verse 18 there. That's not where I want. Verse 19, yeah, 19. The way of a slothful man is in a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You know, if you're not careful, you'll go through life and all you'll get is you'll get the pricks and the thorns in life. And you'll let that take away your merry heart. Don't let that take away your merry heart. And I would just say you need to read Psalm 46 right there, because the Bible said in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. That would be a big deal. And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, that'd be a big deal. That hadn't happened yet. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. But do you know what he said after all that trouble? He says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know why? Because he says, God is in the midst of her. Don't lose your laugh. Not only that, Proverbs 15, would you look at verse 20? Proverbs 15, verse 20, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. I want to tell you something else. Not only does a merry heart have a source to it, but a merry heart wants to bring a merry heart to other people. Look at that. A wise son maketh a glad father. If you're happy, don't you want to make somebody else happy? You know what I have no respect for? I don't have respect for a lot of different things, but one thing I have absolutely no respect for are young people that totally break the heart of their parents. And that happened in the New Testament when Jesus talked about in Luke 15, that prodigal son. You remember that? How many nights do you think the father cried over his boy taking all that inheritance and wasting it? I bet he cried a lot. I don't have any respect for that. I mean, the people that brought you into this world, you at least should want to make them glad. Right? And everybody's got different parents. And they're not all godly and they're not all good. But there ought to be something in our hearts that not want to despise our parents or bring shame to them. But we won't put a smile on their face. Well, that prodigal son, I'm sure, caused the father a lot of crying, a lot of tears, a lot of sorrow. He never did go after him. But I bet he prayed. I bet he wept, carried that burden. And when he came home, now listen to this now. When that prodigal came to himself and repented and came home, the Bible reads this way. It says, the father said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is found alive again. He was lost and is found. Listen, and they began to be merry. Oh, I bet they laughed. I bet they had such a time. He talked about that in verse 32 also and verse 29. The father says in the last verse, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. He said, this boy's now made me glad. Isn't it great the boy that can make you sad can also make you glad? The boy that broke his heart could bring a merry heart in the Father. And that whole text is really a picture of God the Father, you see. Boy, I want to make God the Father glad. I want Him to have a merry heart because of my life and my desire. I ask you a question. Are you breaking somebody's heart or are you making them glad? Are you making a glad father, a glad son, a glad child, a glad friend, a glad co-worker? Is your merry heart spilling over into someone else? Go back to our text. I got two things. I'm done. Proverbs 15. There's a counterfeit to this merry heart, and it's in verse 21. Proverbs 15:21, the Bible says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. There are those that they all laugh about folly. They all laugh about sin. That's our society today. The only thing that society today laughs about is wickedness and sin and telling, you know, these comics today. Listen to this. Let me give you, look, if a comic can't make somebody laugh without saying a curse word, they ain't funny. Right. If the only thing that's funny about a guy is his language, then he don't have anything to say. And that's the only thing we have today. But now you go, years and years ago, that's not wasn't true. Now here, I'm going to wrap this up because I skipped a verse on purpose. All the way back there to verse 14. So we're not talking about that counterfeit laughter. We're not talking about folly. We're not talking about laughing about immorality and all that business that just breaks people's hearts in reality. Proverbs 15, verse 14 says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. And then verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. He said, preacher, what does this heart of knowledge and what does this counsel and these counselors have to do with a merry heart? Well, I want to give you some counsel tonight. And my counsel is a prescription for you because listen. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Listen, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. If you get the right counsel, the counsel of God is that He wants there to be laughter in your life. He wants to want you to have a merry heart. So I'm going to give you a prescription. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to laugh, right? There's a time to laugh. Right now is that time. Too much going on. You need to find something to laugh about. So here's my counsel. We're going to have a little counseling session. Okay? Here's your counseling session. Here's your prescription. Go find something to make you laugh. Preacher, what am I going to do? Okay. We know how wicked YouTube is, right? I'm going to give you a prescription for YouTube. Preacher, why? You're not going to tell me to go witness to people? No, we'll do that another sermon. Go to YouTube and type in Victor Borga. Just, that's a weird name. And you'll come up with black and white little videos of a guy on a piano. That's all, just a guy on a piano. And if you don't laugh yourself silly, call me and I'll tell you got something wrong with you. Yeah, we're talking about stuff how many years ago? 70 years ago? I don't know how many years ago. How many know who Victor Borga is? Four or five people with a merry heart. Brother Mike and I, we've laughed at West Virginia. No, I can't go there. Let's see. What else can I put on that? Get you some old Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. Preacher, you're not going to tell me to read you. No, that's not the sermon tonight. It's not read your Bible. Go find something to make you laugh. In a godly way. Now, there may be one of those strips out there that are risque or something, but I tell you what, I've laughed myself silly at Calvin Hobbes before. How many of you ever know who Calvin Hobbes are? Well, that's a little better. In Romania, in the middle of the wintertime, it would get so cold we couldn't get out, couldn't do anything. My family didn't know anybody there, you know, but the Sutex. Got pretty lonely sometimes. You know what I did? I did something so very spiritual for my family. I got a bunch of black and white Martin and Lewis stuff. Preacher. Martin and Lewis? I'm talking about the black and white stuff. And then we'd sit there and watch that in Romania. You said, you watch TV in Romania? And laughed and laughed and laughed. You said, what were you doing? I was taking my medicine. Now, you may not think that's important, but some of you need to go laugh. I don't know where you'll find that. Maybe you need to sit down with some people out in the fellowship hall and find out about their fat stories. I don't know. But I'm not a comedian, and I can't do it. Find something to laugh at. And you don't have to go to the wickedness of the world to do that. That's my prescription for you today. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Okay, do Abbott and Costello. Pick whichever one you want. Go to somebody, tell them to pull out their teeth or take. I don't. They're false. You say, preacher, you know, you're supposed to, you know, tell us about praying, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's the next sermon. But some of you are broken in your spirit. And it's been so long because of all the stuff that we're going through and you're going through. It's been so long since you've laughed. And a merry heart is a continual feast.